This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, October 6th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. A pivotal day for Facebook. Frances Haugen, the whistleblower who gathered documents on Facebook's internal research, testified before Congress yesterday. The information in those documents revealed the social media giant knew that its platforms could be harmful to some users, but executives repeatedly failed to address the problems. Here's how Senator Richard Blumenthal described Facebook's actions.
And it's not just that they made money again, it's that they valued their profit more than the pain that they caused to children and their families.
On today's show, our tech editor Jason Dean joins us to discuss the hearing and the path forward for Facebook. That's after these headlines. Tesla has been ordered to pay a black former employee more than $130 million in damages. A jury ruled that Owen Diaz was subjected to a racially hostile work environment and that Tesla failed to take reasonable steps to prevent him from being racially harassed. Diaz was an elevator operator at Tesla's Fremont, California factory in 2015 and 2016. During the trial, his lawyer said he was regularly called racial epithets and saw racist images and language written at the workplace. Tesla didn't immediately respond to a request for comment on the verdict or if it plans to appeal. Microsoft Windows 11 was released on Tuesday. It's the first major revamp of the Windows operating system since 2015. But some of the features Microsoft announced in June, including the universal mute button and Android app support, aren't out yet. Plus, some older PCs won't be eligible for an upgrade, and others will run slower with Windows 11. And Singapore is moving to increase its control over online content as part of an effort to combat foreign influence campaigns. The country's legislature passed a bill that would give the government new powers over social media companies and companies that host web content. That includes the ability to order those companies to hand over details about their users. Supporters of the bill said it would stop foreigners and their local proxies from using social media and messaging apps to interfere in Singapore's affairs. But opponents worry it could be used to stifle dissent, blocking the views of critics and snooping on their online activities. Okay, coming up, a former Facebook employee tells Congress the company can't be trusted to regulate itself. What does her testimony mean for the future of Facebook? We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Last month, we went deep into the Facebook files and the revelations that Facebook knew from internal research that its platforms could be harmful to users and spread dangerous content. On Tuesday, the whistleblower who gathered the documents that form the foundation of that reporting testified before Congress. Frances Haugen, a former Facebook employee, told the Senate subcommittee that the social media giant wasn't going to change unless lawmakers took action, and that the company put profit ahead of user safety. Haugen even said Facebook designs its products to be addictive.
They prioritize content in your feed so that you will give little hits of dopamine to your friends so they will create more content.
Joining us to discuss the hearing is our tech editor, Jason Dean. Hi, Jason.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's start with this idea of addiction because this is something that Haugen and a number of senators brought up. It's a pretty bold claim. How did they back that up?
Well, it all centers on the internal documents that were the product of Facebook researchers who were looking at how young people interacted with the platform and finding that in a significant number of cases, it was making them unhappy, but they still felt compelled to use it anyway. And that this had to do, Francis Haugen was arguing with the way the algorithm functions and the way it's designed to function.
You know, another issue that they focused on when they were talking about Facebook's algorithm was how good it was at taking down content that might be harmful. And Haugen pointed out in some of the documents that it shows it's actually not very good, despite Facebook's claims that AI really is the solution for removing this type of posts.
That's right. We've heard that for many years now, that Facebook is hiring a lot of people to work on this problem, but it's also investing a lot in technology, particularly artificial intelligence, that it expects will be the ultimate solution to the problems of content issues on the platform. And you know, there's a lot of evidence in these documents that it's just not working nearly as well as has been suggested, and they're not nearly as close to being able to have it be the solution that it's been portrayed as they've said.
The whereabouts of Facebook's CEO Mark Zuckerberg were commented on a few times by senators. Of course, he has testified in front of Congress before, but they were really focusing on his responsibility. Is that just because he's the head of the company, or is there something more here?
I think it's both. You know, you could make that argument for any chief executive. He's not just any chief executive. He obviously is the primary founder of the company, and he retains 58% voting control. He really is the ultimate decider, even more than most chief executives. There's, you know, he can't be outvoted on anything. His views set the tone for the entire company. And so I think that's a lot of the point that's being made. Obviously, they have a board of directors. They've established an outside oversight board. So it's not like Facebook itself views this as a situation where there's no oversight by any means. But the reality is that he ultimately calls all the shots at the company and sets the tone and the strategy for the company.
Have we heard from Facebook? Have they responded to Haugen's testimony?
Oh, yes. They were responding really in real time. And I think it points up an interesting aspect of the hearings in just the last several days, that you put, you know, a name and a face to this whole affair. And clearly that works in one way with a lot of people, like the senators who were sympathetic and found her to be very intelligent and credible by their own statements. But for Facebook, it gives them a specific target. Ultimately, this is really about what's in the documents and their own research. But, you know, as the hearing was happening on Twitter, and with a subsequent statement, zeroed in on Ms. Haugen and claimed that she basically lacked credibility on a lot of the things that she was discussing. They said, they called her a former product manager who worked for the company for less than 2 years, had no direct reports, and never attended a decision point meeting with C-level executives, and testified more than 6 times to not working on the subject matter in question. So there's definitely a attack the messenger aspect to that. And it is true, Ms. Haugen herself pointed out in a number of cases that when she was asked, that the area she was asked about was not something she had personally worked on at Facebook, and sometimes then said, you know, she just didn't have anything to say about it, but also in other cases pointed out that what she was doing was reading the internal research that was produced by Facebook itself.
I want to talk a little bit about what might come next, because so many of the senators brought up proposals for legislation that they are working on that's related to the information that they learned from the documents that Ms. Haugen gathered. Can you tell us what some of those proposals are? What are they focusing on?
Well, there's a kind of a long list of separate issues that different lawmakers emphasize. There was a lot of common ground across the partisan dividing line in this hearing. It's hard to say what that exactly will translate to. You know, some senators, when you talk about Facebook broadly writ, you have people who are concerned about Section 230 and the shields that provides for Facebook and other companies. There's obviously a great deal of concern about how it affects children and young people. There's still a great deal of concern about its overall clout and power and the competitive dynamics. Others who are concerned about its effect on speech on the platform. So it's still hard to predict how all that will congeal into specific legislation, but I think there is growing unanimity across the aisle that something needs to be done.
You know, related to that is this longstanding concern about antitrust and Facebook just simply being too big. Will this hearing, you know, build public awareness and support for breaking down Facebook at all?
It's interesting. She herself said she doesn't think that's the solution to break it up, or that that won't solve the problems that she's talked about. And, you know, the discussion really didn't center on, you know, how Facebook has treated competitors or affected the competitive landscape. But I think there is thematic overlap in the sense that senators clearly in that hearing were very concerned about the totality of Facebook's influence over people's lives and the way that they wield it. And so, you know, that speaks to the idea that it's just too big and powerful, even if the specifics of what was discussed wasn't really about competition.
Right. And speaking of it being, you know, big and powerful, on Monday, October 4th, there was this massive outage of Facebook platforms, including Instagram and WhatsApp. The outage and the testimony weren't linked, but will the timing of these two events impact lawmakers' thinking?
That's hard to predict, but boy, was that a remarkable occurrence in the middle of everything else that's going on. I think you're right. It pointed out to people just how important Facebook is in the lives of so many people and businesses to go without it and its other platforms for a number of hours, really one of the longer major outages we've seen of that sort. You know, for some people, that was another sign of how that it has too much power. And for others, I think it was a reminder that there are things that they like about the platform and, you know, that's beneficial about Facebook and its multiple platforms, I should say. I don't know that, you know, it fundamentally shifted the dynamics of the conversation about the Facebook files and about what Ms. Haugen's been talking about. But yeah, it definitely drove home just how sizable a role Facebook and its various platforms play in the world.
Definitely. That was our tech editor, Jason Dean. Thanks for joining us, Jason.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.